At about 4 a.m. last night, 4:03 a.m. Eastern Time to be exact, Trump sent out a Truth Social post indicating that he is prepared to declare a national emergency and then mobilize the National Guard in order to deport immigrants en masse on day one, right when he gets into office. And something that people seem to have trouble wrapping their heads around is that Trump plans on doing everything he promised and more. You know, we could have had the expanded child tax credit, we could have had tax breaks for first-time homebuyers or tax breaks for small businesses, things that help people in their day-to-day lives, but instead we get the 20 to 40% tariffs on all imports that Trump promised, and he plans on doing this. He is already putting together a cabinet. This article reads, Lighthizer and his allies lay the groundwork for Trump's massive new tariffs. Preemptive efforts to counter expected criticisms of these tariffs signal an even greater shakeup on trade during Trump's second term. We all know that Trump got us into a trade war with China during his first term in about 2017-2018, but what he plans to do during his second term takes it to a new level. But it's not even just the tariffs. It's not even just the mass deportations that I do want to talk to you guys about. It's also about voters all across the country beginning to realize they were conned, and it hasn't happened en masse yet, but we are getting articles like this. Trump's pro-Israel cabinet picks upset Muslims who voted for him. Some of the Muslims that were actually campaigning for Trump in places like Dearborn, Michigan, are now writing letters asking Biden to safeguard Palestine, safeguard rights for Muslim Americans. And it's like, you guys voted for Trump, and 2 weeks later, you're already backtracking, begging President Biden and Kamala Harris to do something. We'll break all of this down because we have a lot to break down. Trump takes office in about 56, 57 days. So we have this pro-democracy community. Make sure you drop a like, subscribe, and let's jump in with Trump's Truth Social post that he sent at 4:03 a.m. Eastern Time last night. So Tom Fitton sent out a post saying, good news. Reports are the incoming real Donald Trump administration prepared to declare a national emergency. Again, prepare to declare a national emergency and will use military assets to reverse the Biden invasion through a mass deportation program. What an insane thing to be posting at 4 a.m. But again, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. There's a lot I want to break down here, but let's just start with some simple facts. Donald Trump appointed Kristi Noem as the head of the Department of Homeland Security. Noem has zero experience in this sector. She actually lives on a border state on the opposite side of the country, so she's not quite equipped, but what she can be is a lightning rod for criticism while people like Stephen Miller and Tom Homan pull the strings in the background. They have more experience in this sector, they have more commitment to their radical and terrible apocalyptic ideas, so they can pull the strings while Kristi Noem is just the face for it. She's the face on TV smiling and waving as Donald Trump wants in every single sector. He did the same thing with Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth as someone who's simply good at defending Donald Trump on TV rather than actually running an entire military complex. But the thing is, when Donald Trump says he wants to declare a national emergency and use military assets, this bypasses the normal legislative processes and basically removes all checks on his executive authority. This is something that Donald Trump has done time and time again, which is push outside the boundaries of what a normal president would be able to do. We know that he has presidential immunity, but even before he had presidential immunity, he shut down the entire government over his border wall at one point. I mean, he wants to stretch what a president can do every single step of the way, so declaring a national emergency, giving the president sweeping powers, only expands his executive authority even more, which is not good for the U.S. It's also not good to have immigrants deported without due process or without protections against unreasonable searches and seizures, just having people's houses searched. That's what I'm seeing here. What else is the military going to do other than go door to door and try to ask for papers or something like that? A large-scale deportation program, in my eyes, could also lead to widespread panic, not only among immigrant communities, but among legal residents, people who are scared that they'll be targeted unfairly. I mean, imagine the Haitian community in Springfield, Ohio. They were naturalized under the Trump administration. They have been integrated into the United States, and Donald Trump has said he wants to deport people who have been naturalized. Families could be torn apart. children would be separated from families. And honestly, Tom Homan did that during the first term. He welcomes it. Mass deportations also would cripple multiple industries reliant on immigrant labor. Between the massive tariffs and between the amount of immigrants that work in agriculture or construction or even hospitality, I mean, our economy would tank under a second Trump term. And last but not least, it's just inhumane. It's inhumane and absolutely terrible to split families apart. And of course, that part almost doesn't even need to be said. The only reason I framed it from an economic point of view first is because that's what MAGA cares about. MAGA cares about the economy. Sometimes you have to frame things through an economic lens. So Tom Fitton broke this news about Trump's plans, and then Trump confirms it at 4 a.m. He says, true. He just says, true, the Trump admin is ready. And this brings me on to the next story. This is something that I like to talk about because I have many Muslim family members. I've told you guys a few times, my dad is Muslim, his entire side of the family, they are Muslim. I grew up embedded in a Muslim community. I am personally not religious, but I've had many interesting conversations over this election cycle with Muslim voters who are just disillusioned with our institutions, which I understand. So this article reads, Trump's pro-Israel cabinet picks upset Muslims who voted for him. And at this point, I don't feel bad. I just think it's, I mean, if you voted for Donald Trump and then 2 weeks later, you then get the information about Trump's cabinet picks, I'm sorry, but the information was always at your fingertips. That's just your fault at this point. But during the campaign, Trump made several trips to cities like Dearborn, Michigan, with large Muslim and Arab populations. He called Muslims for Trump a beautiful movement and tried to just sweep under the rug the fact that he enacted a Muslim ban during the first week of his presidency in 2017. He claimed he wanted peace. He wanted to end the wars in the Middle East. But ending the wars in the Middle East is a slippery way of using political doublespeak that means you want to be super pro-Israel. And none of this is a commentary on the actual conflict itself. It's a commentary on Muslim voters not realizing Trump's position. So Trump's team includes people like Richard Grenell and Mossad Boulos, who met with community leaders and assured them that Trump was different. He'd be a candidate to prioritize peace and diplomacy. And it worked. I mean, these promises swayed Muslim and Arab American voters, and they helped Trump win certain key states, key districts. There's footage of Trump talking to these Muslim leaders and meeting with them, but here's the thing. Just days after Trump's victory, I don't even think it's been two full weeks yet, Trump has revealed his true colors with his cabinet picks. He's chosen Marco Rubio, who's a staunch supporter of Israel, which is fine. Israel absolutely has a right to exist, but Muslims did not expect this. What did Muslim Americans think? He was going to appoint Rashida Tlaib to some key position? I mean, obviously, he was going to pick crazy people like Mike Huckabee, and no matter what side of the situation you're on, Mike Huckabee is objectively very extreme. He thinks that the West Bank shouldn't exist, that Palestine shouldn't exist as a whole, and that is objectively just an extreme position. It's as extreme as saying that Israel shouldn't exist. Both of those things are crazy, but this is Trump's incoming U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee.
My feeling personally, and I'm speaking only as a person, I think Israel would only be acting on the property it already owns. I think Israel has title deed to Judea and Samaria. There are certain words I refuse to use. There is no such thing as a West Bank. It's Judea and Samaria. There's no such thing as a settlement. They're communities, they're neighborhoods, they're cities.
Okay, so this dude just doesn't think the West Bank exists. He thinks that it's owned by Israel, and the West Bank settlements are objectively something that should not be happening. Over here, we have Mehdi Hassan, one of the leading Muslim journalists, who quote tweeted this. He said, beyond parody, and the original tweet reads, the Arab Americans who backed Trump in Dearborn, Michigan, sent him this letter today, addressed to the White House, urging him to fulfill his promises to the community and work on an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and Lebanon. Immediately, they sent this letter saying, dear President-elect Trump. And this letter gets so sad. It reads, on behalf of Lebanese Americans within our Chamber of Commerce, we congratulate you on your historic return to the White House. Dearborn, Michigan, a city with the highest concentration of Arab American voters outside the Middle East, turned red this presidential election due to you. In response to your renowned letter addressed to Lebanese Americans dated October 26, and due to the escalation of Israeli attacks, we are urging your administration and transition team to apply your political influence in demanding an immediate ceasefire. Furthermore, our meetings with your team leading up to your historic win underscored the importance of our dialogue in matters pertaining to Lebanon. Oh, sweetheart, your dialogue does not matter anymore, homie. It's over. These engagements have already led to robust lines of communication situation. Further, we believe your team's leadership is ready. It's just, there's a hint of desperation all throughout this letter. Like, please, please do not do it. Watch this CNN segment. The same desperation exists here, where this uncommitted Michigan delegate who refused to vote for Harris or endorse Harris went on CNN to plead with President Biden, to plead with him. Watch.
It looks like ethnic cleansing. It sounds like ethnic cleansing. It's an ethnic cleansing campaign in Gaza and the West Bank and southern Lebanon. And Mike Huckabee was just named as the guy who's going to oversee the final stages of that campaign. And so our message right now is to President Biden, you've got to do something about this. President Biden, stand up for once to Netanyahu before Donald Trump successfully gets away with pinning this legacy of this ethnic cleansing campaign on you and you alone forevermore.
I don't even know what to say about this. Like, I'm not even making fun of the guy, but just think about what's happening here. The chyron reads, uncommitted movement looks ahead to Trump presidency. This guy was uncommitted. He has political power in the state of Michigan, a key swing state. He's even a delegate, but he refused to commit to Kamala Harris. He refused to vote for Kamala Harris. And then after Donald Trump appoints Mike Huckabee, the dude that I was just showing you, I mean, Mike Huckabee is objectively, no matter what side of the situation you're on, you can't just say that the West Bank does not exist and it's owned by Israel. That's not okay. Now that he sees Mike Huckabee is in this position, he's begging President Biden. And it's like, dude, do you have no foresight whatsoever? Do you not understand the fundamentals of politics? Trump has openly said he's been pro-Israel. Trump has openly supported Israel in its ambition to take over all of Palestinian land. Jared Kushner said he wants to turn Gaza into beachfront property. The idea that this wasn't so open and obvious is just absurd. It's absurd. He's saying this way too late. And this brings me back to this article. U.S. Muslim leaders who supported Republican Donald Trump to protest against the Biden administration's support for Israel are now deeply disappointed and scared by Trump's cabinet picks. Quote, Trump won because of us, and we're not happy with the Secretary of State pick and others, said Rabiul Chaudhuri, a Philadelphia investor who chaired the Abandon Harris campaign and co-founded Muslims for Trump. Muslim for Trump co-founder is now pissed. Muslim support for Trump helped him win Michigan and may have factored into other swing state wins, strategists believe. Muslim support for Trump helped him win Michigan and may have factored into other swing state wins, strategists believe, or just contributed to an overall environment where people create this permission structure. Hey, it's okay if you're Muslim, or it's okay if you're a Latino and you vote for Trump. But Trump picked Republican Senator Marco Rubio, a staunch supporter of Israel, for Secretary of State. And honestly, Marco Rubio is not even like that super extreme. But Marco Rubio thinks that Israel should exist, and he thinks that Israel needs to do anything to root out Hamas, and that goes against what every single Muslim thinks. Muslims want Israel to minimize civilian casualties. Minimize civilian casualties. Trump nominated Mike Huckabee, a former Arkansas governor and staunch pro-Israel conservative. This guy is staunch. He does not back a two-state solution, sorry. He says it is unworkable, and he backs Israeli occupation of the West Bank. Marco Rubio, as far as I can tell, does support a two-state solution. He's not as extreme as somebody like Mike Huckabee. Quote, we are very disappointed, said the executive director of the American Muslim Engagement and Empowerment Network. It seems like this administration has been packed entirely with neoconservatives and extremely pro-Israel, pro-war people, which is a failure on the side of President Trump. What did you expect, homie? Did you expect them to put in, like, pro-Palestine? Like, did you expect Trump to have a cabinet full of Muslims? Have you ever listened to anything Trump has ever said? Sorry, it's just pissing me off because I've had these conversations with so many Muslims and people just refuse to listen. So the backlash has been swift. Immediate backlash. These leaders said, Trump won because of us. We are not happy. Others said that a cabinet is going on Zionist overdrive. Even Trump's promises of diplomacy now seem hollow because these cabinet picks signal a full embrace of the neoconservative agenda of continuing the wars, of doubling down and maybe even provoking Iran a little bit, which of course, I hate Iran too, but for Muslim voters in places like Dearborn, this is all a bitter pill to swallow. They supported Trump to protest Biden's handling of Gaza, which it's fine if you disagree with that, but you did that only to see Trump double down on the policies they fundamentally oppose. And the reason I'm being so like snarky about it is because it was all so obvious. Can you guys let me know in the comment section, was this not incredibly obvious? Did I not say this on my show 100 times? And it's not the first time Trump has betrayed a key voting bloc after securing their support. Remember his promises to farmers during the trade war about tariffs, or his vows to middle-class families before passing tax cuts for the rich immediately? Now, Muslim voters are seeing the same exact pattern. Trump tells you what he wants to hear. He lies to your face in order to win your vote, then he pivots to the most extreme version of his agenda immediately, and these cabinet picks aren't just a disappointment, they're rewarding for anyone else who believes Trump will stick to his word. I will leave you with that. If you enjoyed this video, drop a like, subscribe, have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you in the next one. If you want to help support independent media, make sure that you become a member below.